Hello, ladies and gentlemen, it is Red Teens here, and welcome back to our political podcast. And as you know, we have also been getting into certain controversies, not really for the podcast I meant to say, but more, we are now going to be looking more into controversies rather than political stories. So this is going to be more of a comment video, maybe some more discussing and analysis in there, but I am going to be looking more into certain controversies that have been surrounding the area recently, like the Virginia governor incident with the blackface and the KKK hood, and also more of about Alexandria Cortez saying that the rich should not, isn't being immoral, more if I would like to say. But that's going to really be what I have heard today in a sense of commenting. But we are going to still be discussing the latest news and the largest, not the largest, but definitely the biggest and the best news I can get. I might sound a little bit like Trump, but just saying that's all I really got. I'm kind of tired right now, so don't really expect great, like, language to be set during this podcast. Kind of more expect some errors or whatever to happen, but we are going to move into our very first article. And the very first article we're going to get into is what I have said is the Virginia governor. And so if you heard about the Virginia governor saying about he would resign if he confessed of who was he in the certain photo in the 1984 yearbook, which was that he was either a black-faced person or the KKK hood. Now we've seen recently that he's in fact going, he's not going to resign either way. And I see that as a little bit of a victory for the Republicans, because it's going to show that Democrats, they're not going to say that they're progressing and that they're going to accept what happened. No, they're not going to accept it. They're just going to say, whatever, I'm going to keep my spot. It's like, at least Republicans, at least sometimes, more often resign on certain controversies rather than Democrats, because I've even researched this before. More Democrats have resigned only because they've been beyond force. More Republicans have resigned when a controversy erupts and they see that they're not going to have a good reputation or whatever in the future. So they instead say, I cannot be in this office, so just let the other person in. But we're going to go into the Fox News article of this event. But in fact, this is also going to be added to it. Unforgivable. Trump slams Ralph Norman yearbook controversy as lawmakers call for Virginia governor's resignation. So I agree with Trump. I think Trump did a really good move, especially due to certain controversies that have erupted over the time. Because if he slams him, it's going to show people that he doesn't support the KKK, as many heavy leftists, like socialists and Antifa, tried to say. Like, they tried to say, he's a racist, he's a fascist, he's fighting for Hitler, as I've always pointed out. When in real life, he's not. He's a regular old person. Well, we never know. Donald Trump could be a racist. We never know. But at least to my personal belief and what I've at least seen from President Trump, he is not a racist. But we're going to get back right into the article. And so the Fox News article states that President Trump condemned Virginia Governor Ralph Norman on Saturday amid the controversy surrounding a racist photo on his medical school yearbook page, as well as comments he made about a late-term abortion bill. I actually forgot what the statement was. I don't really remember. I might try to find it if this article states it. Quote, Democratic Governor Ralph Norman of Virginia just stated, I believe that I am not either of the people in the photo, Trump tweeted. This was 24 hours ago after apologizing for in the picture after making the most horrible statement on very late-term abortion. Unforgettable. And yes, Trump really means it, because it's like, he's virtually saying that I was going to resign and I would do it respectfully. Now it's like, no, I'm not going to resign. Even if I admit it, I'm not going to resign. And so, yeah, and this also revolves around those comments. I forgot, again, what the comments were. I might try to find them in a certain news alert, sort of like that, if we get any breaking news. Meanwhile, but back to the issue. Trump is making a great move. If he did not condemn it, he would have probably at least stayed in the middle. But this is probably going to show more and more people, which is the fact, as I said, that he's not a racist and he doesn't fight against people in certain racial issues. And so, yes, it's unforgivable, because this man is virtually, because I think it was something, because his comments were about something like, oh, I'm not sure. Don't quote me on this. Remember, do not quote me if I'm wrong, because I'm not sure right now what the comments were. But I think he said something about even if the baby was like about to be born, it could still be killed. Which I think that's what I think he said, at least in paraphrasing. That's just horrific. It's just terrible. It's a inhumane reason, because this is the thing. Fetuses, they have rights because they're technically humans too. They're not, because the main argument by the leftists is that fetuses aren't people. Well, they're a living being. So technically they have rights, because look at animals. They're not people, and they have still have rights that protect them from hunting and such other human activities. Why doesn't a fetus count that much? I don't know. You would have to ask the left about that. And then there's still that argument of they would rather have babies killed than have a serial killer who's killed families such as Charles Manson and many others. And it baffles me. It baffles me beyond contempt. And if you were to say, well, what about if they're, what if they're not sure if he's actually guilty? Well, yes, you could have partly a point. But if they are proven guilty, then you have to just accept that they are guilty. There's no point in saying, oh, they weren't guilty. They're okay. It's like, that's just stupid. That's stupid beyond belief, and you cannot keep making that excuse up. That is just an absolute crappy excuse that leftists make. It's like, even when they're completely guilty, that they still deserve life, because they can be cared for it. Because look at Charles Manson. He was cared for when he was about to die. While the family that he killed, the family members that he killed, well, they never got anything. They just died. They just were murdered, and that was it. And that's what just angers me about the entire, like, opposition, is that it doesn't even make any sense, and it's just virtually saying, I'd rather have the murderer alive than have justice for the families that suffered, or family that suffered under his wrath. But overall, the Virginia governor situation is intensifying, and I think he's going to land himself. I think he's going to resign. My personal opinion is he's going to resign eventually, because he's just going to get his public opinion is just going to plummet to the point where if he even runs for next year, he's going to get absolutely wrecked. Even if he's the front-running Democrat, he's going to get wrecked. He'll lose probably at least 20% of the vote in what I've calculated. But that's really what I got for today on this incident. And we probably will be continue our podcast with such updates. But for now, that's really what the update we have for today. And so the very next article we have is healthcare debate. Americans won't go for Medicare for all once they learn this. This is the thing about Medicare for all. It sounds great. I've always pointed this out. Socialism tries to sound like communism. It sounds great, but in real life, it sucks. Over 1 billion people were technically enslaved because they were forced to work to death. Over 100 million people died under communism. And then still socialists and communists are continuing to say, no, that wasn't true socialism. True socialism. That wasn't true communism. That was just their version. Well, yes, but they were using the same ideas for communism. So it's just beyond annoying for them to even try a bit in a sense more of put an argument out that communism has not been fully tested. Communism will never work, but this relates again to the article. So Medicare for all is the idea that we should have Medicare for everyone, including illegal immigrants and criminals such as that, and that it should be free. This is what makes it such a huge problem. Everyone would love Medicare that would be free. I would love that. But obviously, I don't support it because I see that what would happen in the economy would nowhere near convey for just a few people. No, I would nowhere convey for all of the damage. We would have to pay what? Over $3 trillion every year. Over $3 trillion every single year just to pay for it. And that's the entire federal budget. That means we would have to literally cut everything. We would have to cut the military. We would have to cut Social Security. We'd have to cut all of this just for people to get free pills. When in real life, Trump has done virtually what could be the half of it. He's lowered drug prices, which makes them more affordable. Yes, it's going to lose business for the healthcare companies, but it is benefiting the citizens. So Trump virtually said, I'm going to do what's in half. I'm going to reduce it. And that's why I supported Trump's idea, because we don't need like a radical change on healthcare other than getting rid of Obamacare, which I've always been against, if you know. But again, the whole Medicare for All entire act is, I'm not going to really go into the article because I can really see what this article is going to go into. So Medicare for All, Kamala Harris supports it, Bernie Sanders supports it, and this also, again, relates to the Green New Deal or whatever, which Ocasio-Cortez is trying to spread. The Green New Deal, it sounds great, again, like communism, but in real life, it would have to involve such heavy regulations that it would destroy the American economy itself. It would absolutely wreck the economy. Maybe not destroy, as I said, but definitely it would absolutely wreck it. But overall, the Medicare for All, like, conversation, I think it's been heavily disclosed by conservatives, but it's still continued even now, even with substantial evidence that it would absolutely annihilate our economic system. It would cause probably huge economic loss, GDP loss, and such as that. But we're going to move on to the very next article. And so the next article comes from CNN. And so if you want to have any kind of update, you would say, on the Don Jr., I think there hasn't been none since. I think it's just been confirmed rather than, but the FBI has not said anything about, you would say, if it's going to substantially change it. But we are going to go right back into the news. And so the first article we're going to get into is about El Chapo Guzman. Actually, no, we're actually going to move on. We're going to comment on El Chapo. And if you know El Chapo, which you probably do, he was the former kingpin of an extremely large cartel. And it says he's accused in court documents of having sexual relationships with young girls. So that's pedophilia. And this is, I don't really want to put this out, but the thing is, Antifa. And I know that you might say, but Sam, you shouldn't discuss anything of this. This is not even relating to El Chapo. But this does relate to the Antifa thing. Because Antifa before has protected pedophiles. If you've noticed about some of their signs, they have protected pedophiles before. And so it's no surprise to me, because there was also another incident that I heard about where Antifa, in fact, attacked a Marine group where, in fact, they were assaulted, but luckily some of the Antifa members were arrested rather than escaping like many others. But we're going to move back right into the El Chapo newsletter. Witness is in the case against John Quinn. El Chapo Guzman told authorities that the drug lord had sexual relationships with young girls called vitamins, I think, that gave him life, according to court documents. The allegations come as a federal jury is set to begin deliberations Monday in Guzman's high-profile drug conspiracy trial in the U.S. District of Brooklyn. A cooperating witness who testified at the trial told investigators that around 2007, he helped Guzman drug girls as young as 13 by seeing them a powdery substance in their drink. So that sounds a little bit like you would say, well, this is going to be kind of a dark humor joke, but it kind of sounds a little bit like a Bill Cosby type of thing. And so it says more that about certain sexual assaults and probably also involving rape. So yes, I believe that El Chapo should never get out of prison. I think he should forever. He should be put in the max security prison. He should never be let out. In fact, he should barely even be able to get out of his own jail itself. He should never be visited due to, well, maybe yes, but those visitors would have to be heavily searched. Because we know that if El Chapo gets certain visitors in there with certain items, he's going to get back out and he's going to continue to kill. And this is a fact. El Chapo probably is going to put the argument that he didn't kill all those people. Those people took the drugs and died. Well, you sold them to the people. So technically you're selling them what killed them, which means in a way you, in a sense, killed them. That's really what is happening. It's not really you just associated. You literally put yourself, you knew that it could kill, but you just wanted money. You didn't care about anyone else's lives. You just said, if I make $100 off of this, who gives a crap about your life? I'm making money, you're dying, I live. And that's really what El Chapo does, is this. He ruthlessly kills anyone that's in his way, kills anyone that opposes his power, and he just overall brings death and destruction as he comes. He's brought death to the United States, much more death to Mexico, with thousands, I think, a year during his reign being killed. So yes, the El Chapo trial is very important for probably the U.S. because if and Mexico too, because if El Chapo is in fact put in prison, it would essentially finally at least take off one of the largest kingpins in probably drug history. But we're going to move on from that. We still might make some updates on the trial, and we probably also might have a special on that if there's any type of significance that any articles say about other than what I just stated. But we are going to move on to the very next article. And so this is going to be more of a video and discussion. Cuomo said that I think transgender should be part of the protected class and why Trump supporters have been proclaiming the protected class. This is the thing. What group do you hear most often being attacked? Do you hear Hillary supporters? Bernie supporters? Elizabeth Warren supporters? No? Well, then what else? Oh, yeah, it's Trump supporters. Every single freaking month, we always hear about a Trump supporter that's attacked. That is literally what happens. It is a Trump supporter that is being attacked consistently. Trump supporters have become probably the most persecuted political group and we've probably ever seen. It really is. We've never seen anything like this in probably at least post-presidential elections ever before. They've been attacked. They've been assaulted. I'm not sure if they've any been killed because I don't know if that's actually gone that far. But many conservatives and especially pro-Trumpists are in fact now in danger. Like, look at Roger Stone. Roger Stone's a heavy pro-Trump. And he, on InfoWars, even talked about how he was scared for his family due to many death threats. Because Roger Stone, as you know, is a very unpopular person to the left. He is very unpopular due to his political stance and other activities he's done during his years. And so, it just brings on the entire question of why is it that progressives continued to paint themselves as the leaders of the freedom world, how they're protecting the people from the hate of fascist Trump, when in real life, they're literally the group that is attacking anyone in the way that opposes them. If I was to like go into Portland while there was an Antifa rally and I wore a Trump hat, I would probably get the crap beaten out of me. I'm not kidding. I'm sorry for using that, but that's really what is happening. You would get the absolute crap kicked out of you because. And then the mainstream media tries to cover it up. They always talk about how Antifa is just another group and Trump's overestimating it. He's not overestimating it. He's telling what is actually happening. This is the same things that the media does. They lie or they put it into different contexts so they can keep you away. Because the mainstream media, they try to put the strategy up. They want you, because most people turn on the news right as something happens. Because they know that. They don't think that you would just research it up. So they quickly try to say, if they are there, they quickly try to put their opinion into your mind. Because look at Don Lemon. Don Lemon is just probably one of the most politically horrible people. He's attacked Trump supporters for probably since the election, probably even before the election itself. He has also attacked any conservative and has defended any type of leftist because he's obviously just a prick. He is a prick. And it's just overall, once again, the showing of the true left, the regressive left, the violent left, the left that continues to use their ideology as an excuse for violence, not as a form of peace and political movement. It is a violent movement bent on intimidating conservatives. And this is why conservatives now are looked up to, and now they're being more and more. Because if you notice about certain shows that are more conservative than many others, they are starting to get more views because people are trying. Because when they see all these conservatives attack, they're kind of saying, well, maybe I'll see their side. Because they're getting tired of the Oscars. They're getting tired of all the Grammys with the political crap and all of that. And all the Rachel Maddow and the Amy Schumer and all the SJWs. They're getting tired and they want to see an actual different political opinion. And this could easily change the future of politics itself. But once again, that is just what I at least have to say on that. But we are going to move on to the very next article, which comes from CNN. It is NYT publisher confronts Trump on his media attacks. And so I haven't actually heard about this before. So I'm actually going to move on from this because I'm not very sure what it is about. So I'm actually going to move away from that news article just to make sure we do not miss anything factually or not emotionally, but in a sense anyway. But the next article we're going to be getting into is State of the Union will kick off an epic fight between Trump and Pelosi. And yes, the epic fight is very like the fight itself for politics is going to be very big for Trump and Pelosi. They are the two faces of the parties, except for Ocasio, which is probably the face of the new Democrats. And so, yes, as the article already states, I think it's going to be State of the Union is going to be probably enormous for both of them. So on February 5th, President Donald Trump will finally get to deliver his State of the Union address after agreeing to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's request to hold off the speech. And that's the thing. He never accepted the request to hold off the speech. In the first point, he actually said that she was purposely delaying it. So actually, that's not even factually right, because Trump even said that himself. I don't need just to look at it. I just literally have the quote itself. Trump literally said that she is purposely delaying it because she didn't want during the shutdown for Trump to actually speak, because if Trump spoke, she thought maybe it would gain him any kind of political support. But the article goes into more, saying Pelosi will certainly be sitting on the House chamber on Tuesday, right behind Trump, alongside Vice President Mike Pence and the new insistent view of cameras, with a good deal of pride after essentially forcing him to accept the bill to fund the government through February 15th and without any money for his borrow. Yes, I think at least from the Democratic point of view, it was a win because they finally forced Trump into doing something rather than his first 2 years of him, they would say at least, bullying them into passing bills. And so the tension between Trump and the Democratic speaker will be most interesting thing to watch for Tuesday night, given that it may indicate the drama that will play out in the coming months. Without question, Pelosi is the most lethal political threat to his presidency. The House has the power to issue subpoenas. I don't actually know what those are. I've been trying to investigate them, but I haven't been really sure what they actually mean. Launch investigations and hearings and impeachment proceedings. Trump's fate may be shaped by her decisions. And I think Pelosi, this is the lucky thing. If it was Maxine Waters, she would have impeached Trump literally the day after she into the House. She would have said, impeachment, impeachment, even though in one tweet that we discussed about three episodes ago, where it was completely and factually right, where she tried to use the gold, he rigged the polling data, even though it was completely wrong. So at least Trump has someone that he still hates, but at least she's rationally minded, if you would say. So again, I think the State of the Union address is going to be interesting, to say it at least. But I don't think it's going to be as interesting as certain articles are trying to put it. Because I think it's just going to be them fighting back. I don't care for much of political fights unless it's like during before an election. Because before an election, yes, I love the political fights between them. But during just some State of the Union address, when we should just be obviously as the event's names, State of the Union, instead of just talking about how each other are wrong. But I would say definitely to Trump that he should at least put some kind of point to Pelosi of what he at least thinks or what certain people that support him think. But we are going to move on to our very last news article of today. And so the last news article for today is from Infowars.com. And the first article we're going to be looking into is Elizabeth Warren apologizes to Cherokee Nation for DNA test. It wasn't clear if in addition to apologizing to the Cherokee Nation, Elizabeth Warren was also apologizing to the rest of the nation. So yeah, Elizabeth Warren, this relates back to the, I think, September-October event where she tried to attack Trump for being a Native American, where he was like, "You're not a Native American, you are you are not even close. And she was like, no, I am a Native American. I'll prove it. And then she was like 1 in 1,000 Native American, which is less than me. It's like, I'm a white male, and I'm more Native American than the person who claimed to be for like what? For like what? 40 years? It's like, that's just astonishing. Having resisted calls to apologize for October DNA test gimmick as recently as December, Democratic presidential hopeful Elizabeth Warren have seen her polling figures with Indians and other minorities, and she finally caved. According to The Intercept, NYT Senator Warren, who is running for the Democratic presidential nomination on the platform of taxing America's billionaires, and who previously claimed that she was a Native American ancestry. She has apologized to the Cherokee Nation for her decision to take a DNA test to prove her Native American ancestry. The move that NYT said had angered some tribal leaders and ignited a significant political backlash. And so, yeah, I think I didn't really see the polls, but I definitely heard that she did lose some support from the Cherokee Nation due to her virtual lie. Because she, I don't think it was really a lie to say, but it was definitely her not actually looking up, or at least finding out how much of Native American that she was, rather than just actually taking the test. But there's really not much to the InfoWars article other than attacking her for it and continuously to depict the events that happened before and after. And I think there wasn't really much afterward. Maybe if some days or weeks afterward, there wasn't really much. But again, Elizabeth Warren, I think, definitely did got a political backlash that she deserved. She forever claimed that she was Native American and that Trump was being an idiot, as they would always say, when in real life, she was being the actual idiot. And once again, she just proved herself. Sorry. But she once again just screwed herself up. And this is what many Democrats have been doing for a long time. They say certain statements without even thinking, and then it comes back to punch them right in the face. But as I said, this is going to end our political podcast. And I'd just like to say I am starting to distribute this on Twitter. I do actually have a Twitter account if you're not able to listen to the podcast or anyone else you know. So visit Twitter at @TheRealTeenRedTeens there. And I would also like to say that I am starting to get the iHeartRadio situation. They've told me that they will get installed in, I think, maybe 3 or so days or 4, maybe even 6. But that is really good. That's going to be great in the future once we start getting more platform. But as you know, I'm planning to get a gamer headset for both because I need to use the microphone for both the iHeartRadio because unless I am able to kind of click both Audacity, which is the app I'm using to record audio regularly other than Anchor, I would have to use the gamer headset, but I will try that eventually, just not right now. So, I thank you for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I hope you have a great Sunday in the future.